Thanks for tuning in to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast, where we talk about your body, how it moves, and empowering you with the knowledge to manage and treat your pain or discomfort. You will also get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at a successful private practice. You have the questions, and we have the answers. Now let's get moving.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And your co-host, Allie.
The months are just flying by.
They really are. And here it's like kind of sad when we don't have a guest, but well, I'd still have fun with you when
it's just us. Does that mean you don't want to talk to just me, Allie?
No, I do. I think it's still fun with just us too.
But it's time for another Clinical Corner article. Once we get February done, that much closer to warm weather. So
that's true.
We're good.
It cannot come soon enough.
Well, we have an interesting topic this week. The article is about electric nerve stimulation, and I don't want to give away the title yet because I want to ask our question first. So the article is a case study, and we'll explain a little bit about the case and about the treatment and the intervention. But for our students out there, I want you to think about if someone was having lateral epicondyle pain, lateral epicondylitis, tennis elbow, that sort of thing, what treatment would you want to, or what nerve would you want to direct treatment at to ease that pain, or what would be the symptomatic nerve causing that pain?
So the name of the nerve.
The name of the nerve. So students think through that through the episode, and we'll talk a little bit about it. This was an interesting case. It was a 43-year-old man who had previously had tennis elbow. And a lot of people might think, oh, tennis elbow, he must be a tennis player.
I was going to ask.
Yeah. So that's so where it got its name.
I was going to say, is it from him playing tennis or?
In his case, it was actually table tennis.
Oh.
Yeah.
A ping pong elbow.
That's right. We don't necessarily call it ping pong elbow, but I guess you could. But this is a common diagnosis. The issue is that all of the muscles in the wrist and hand and some of the muscles in the forearm all insert in a common place. We call it the common extensor mass. And it's that big kind of bump on the outside of your elbow. That's where all the muscles attach to. And because everything inserts into one area, there's a lot of stress. And oftentimes we can get breakdown of that tissue, causing pain, causing inflammation, long-term causes calcification and tendinopathy, where the tendon actually changes structure. So it's an area that's really, really subject to injury. There's studies that will say approximately like 1-3% of the general population will experience lateral elbow pain at some point in life.
Is that anything to do with the funny bone?
You know, the funny bone, I think commonly people talk about when they hit their funny bone, they talk about hitting the inside of their elbow, the ulnar nerve.
Okay.
Yep. So when you hit that, it causes that tingling.
But it goes in like both directions, all the nerves. Like you can feel the tingling, right?
Yeah, yeah, it can. So clue to our students, it's that nerve is not the answer to our quiz question.
The funny bone.
Not the funny bone, not the ulnar nerve. So I don't want to give too much away. But anyway, back to our case study. So this gentleman had previously had some lateral epicondyle issues and was treated successfully with physical therapy, with manual therapy and with exercise, what we consider more traditional physical therapy treatments for this problem. He had a recurrence, and when he came back to physical therapy, the manual therapy and the exercise just weren't doing the trick. And so they did some additional study and additional investigation. Since this was a study, they had some things that you may not typically have in a clinic, which was kind of cool. They did some neural tension testing, looking at different nerves and if nerves were under tension. And it's not a new thing to think about neural tension and cervical spine and nerve impingement contributing to outside or lateral epicondyle pain. A lot of times these things go hand in hand, and radial nerve issues have been well reported to be, you know, a contributing factor to lateral epicondyle, especially chronic or, you know, stuff that seems a bit more persistent. The radial nerve could be involved. And so in this study, what they did was they did some thermography. So they studied like they had a, and there'll be pictures of this in the article that we'll share, but they had the ability to kind of look at temperature, and that kind of indicated that increased temperature suggests kind of an altered sympathetic response in the area of their symptoms. And it coordinated right to where their pain was. And so you know, that kind of tells us that that nerve is irritated, the sympathetic response is heightened. And so what do we have in our toolbox to treat the nerve? Well, we have some nerve mobilizations, we have cervical spine mobilizations, we have manual therapy. We've talked about that at length. And again, they did try that as a first response in the first intervention, but the patient didn't respond as favorably as hoped. So moving down the list of what can we do from a treatment standpoint, dry needling is a great intervention. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked a lot about dry needling and how it kind of creates this mechanism where the nerve resets, or kind of a control alt delete. I think we've talked a little bit about adding something with dry needling, mm-hmm. and that's electric stimulation.
Right.
So they added kind of a combination. And so they did the dry needling, and they didn't just address the symptomatic points like where he was tender or painful. They actually tried to address it to the closest location, or, you know, the nearest point where the nerve comes superficial. Again, since this was a study, they had a little bit of extra things to help. And you can see in the pictures, they had ultrasound to look at ultrasound guidance. And then you can see where they have ultrasound pictures looking at the intervention where they place the needle close to the upper radial nerve and the lower posterior interosseous nerve points. And they used the ultrasound to make sure they were right there. So again, if you didn't have access to the ultrasound or, you know, in the clinic, it doesn't mean you can't do the needling technique. You're just going to use your basic anatomic reference points for those nerve locations. And there's a nice picture in the article that shows kind of exactly where they have the needles placed. And once the needles were placed, they used electric stimulation, like we said. And what's interesting is they left electric stimulation on for about 30 minutes. They used a low pulse, and they actually wanted to see, you know, a palpable or visible muscle contraction. So many of our patients that have listened and been dry needle, you know, patients before, or obviously clinicians out there, you know, it's probably a little bit more intensity of stimulation because you want to actually see a bit of muscle twitch going on. And they did leave it in for a bit longer time, so about 30 minutes. So they did this, and then they looked at some follow-up information. So they did this the first visit, and then they did it a second visit, and there was a pretty significant drop. The baseline DASH score, as an example, was 35%. So 0 to 100, 35% disabled because of the pain in the elbow. Just after one treatment, that dropped to 14%.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
That's a pretty significant difference, really, really impressive improvement in just one visit. So on the second visit, they did the electric stimulation, same as they did on the first one. And then the good thing was is that since there was such a improvement in symptoms, and this is what we often see in the clinic, the dry needling isn't the only answer, right? That's not what's curing the problem. It sets the stage so that we can then do things that traditionally we know are going to fix the problem, whether it be strengthening, stability, flexibility, whatever that case may be. In this person's case, they had such nerve pain and such nerve irritation of the radial nerve that they couldn't get through the exercises, or wasn't making a clinical difference when they were going through the exercises. So after they did the stimulation, on the second visit, they introduced basically a low-load exercise program targeting wrist extensor muscles. So it consisted of 5 strengthening exercises of the wrist extensors, combining both concentric and eccentric phases of each. You know, they had speed and amplitude, performance of the exercises were all basically done until symptoms were brought on. So it was like right sub-threshold. They went right to pain but didn't go past that. And then they had the patient perform the exercises for 4 weeks, 3 times a day. And then that's all they did. So pretty remarkable, you know, 2-time, you know, treatment with dry needling and then some exercises. And if you look at these DASH numbers, they take them out in the study all the way to 24 months. So at, you know, we talked about at 1 week, the DASH score dropped to 14. At a month, it was down to 10. And at 3 months, it was down to 1.7. And then at 6, 9, 12, 18, and 24 months, it was all down to 0. So there was no disability all the way out to 2 years.
So you mentioned, how long were they treating him in a different, with the just mobilization before they started the needling?
Yeah, I think they did about 2 weeks of treatment beforehand, okay. and they weren't seeing any difference.
So that's when they took it up a notch and they're like, okay, we're going to get you better and put these needles with some electric stim.
Yeah, and that's pretty typical. You know, we tell patients most often when you come into physical therapy, we do an evaluation. In that evaluation, we're trying to figure out what objective things can we find, be it weakness, be it pain, be it, you know, inflexibility. How does that coordinate with what you're having symptom-wise? And then we try to design a program that's going to improve that and hopefully improve your symptoms. 2 weeks into care, we're typically going to do a reassessment. You should be 25 to 50% improved based on those first couple of weeks. If you're not, then we're going to reevaluate. We're going to pivot. And so that's kind of what they did in this instance. And after changing, I mean, you know, lateral epicondylitis, pain on the outside of the elbow, there are so many people that struggle with it, you know, for years and years and years and years and years. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty significant that this treatment was able to make a difference that clinically significant out to 2 years with just a small intervention.
Why was he keep going back if he didn't have any more pain for 2 years?
He wasn't going back for treatment. They were just doing check-ins. It was just part of the study where they were just getting information. Yeah, he wasn't getting treatment. So our students should have their answer out there.
Did we give it away?
Well, we talked a lot about it.
Okay.
So hopefully they realize the radial nerve is the nerve that we, in this study, that they intervened on. And that would typically be the nerve we would attribute pain on the outside of the elbow to. So again, not a new concept. You know, in the literature, they talk a lot about radial nerve mobilization, cervical spine mobilization to help outside of the elbow problems. But a little bit of a new approach in terms of needling, you know, especially needling with the electric stimulation, then needling for that length of 30 minutes with a palpable muscle contraction, I think is pretty significant.
How many nerves are in there? Like, is there like a billion that people have to memorize? All the students out there, like, going through their Rolodex of nerves?
Yeah, there's a big kind of, you know, if you think about nerves like electric wires, there's kind of like a surge protector with a bunch of different plugs.
Yeah.
And we call those plexuses. There's a big plexus in your underarm called the brachial plexus.
Okay.
And then off of that come different branches of nerves, you know, big branches, and then those branch down into smaller branches. And there's motor nerves, there's cutaneous nerves and things like that. So our students out there in the early years, they're probably back in the day, we used to use flashcards, but I'm sure they're not using flashcards anymore.
Oh, I bet they do.
But we used to use diagrams and color code and all these sort of things.
I hope they do.
So, you know, nowadays
there's an app for that, right?
I'm going to say, yeah, there's probably an app for that. And, you know, they're probably using more interactive things on iPads and such.
Well, I know our PTs are very hands-on, so I think the learning comes also with the motor skills of studying.
Well, you know, the cool thing is to our listeners out there, if you're in that 1-3% of the population with pain on the outside of your elbow, don't let it go on. You know, you have direct access to Oxford Physical Therapy.
There it is.
I would have to mention it.
Yep.
And, you know, you can come in, we can do an evaluation, we can figure out, you know, is the radial nerve involved in this lateral epicondyle pain, and would you be a good candidate for electric stimulation? And heck, if you could get a couple of treatments of that, an exercise program, and feel better, and literally get this gone, that would be so worth it to someone who had suffered from this.
Yeah, and just because we learn about these things through studies doesn't mean that you're going to become a study.
That's right.
Unless you have something really cool, maybe we'll ask you on the side.
But check out the article in our episode notes and realize all of our Oxford physical therapists are trained in these techniques. We appreciate you guys tuning in for our February Clinical Corner.
Yep, we're staying up to date on everything that's brand new on the study end and applying them in our clinics.
That's right.
So I appreciate you bringing the knowledge to our podcast, Matt.
No problem.
As always.
So. We'll be talking to you guys soon.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find us online at oxfordphysicaltherapy.com, and you can also find us on our social media pages like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Remember, you do not need a doctor's referral to receive physical therapy in the state of Ohio and Kentucky, where we offer double the care for less than half the cost. You can schedule appointments online or stop into any center for a free screen, what we like to call a B visit. Please write a review, send us a comment or message on our social media platforms, and until next time, keep it moving!